Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's stand together and sing our opening hymn, number 97, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. That's one familiar to everybody, so sing out.
So glad to see your faces here this morning. So glad to be back with you here this morning. And just exciting to be here and to be worshiping the Lord at Moscow. And I hope you feel the same way. This morning, I just want to have a few announcements here off your bulletin. I want you to notice again this insert. There's really only one Sunday left after this for our school supplies. We're getting some school supplies in. There's this insert that has a list of things that they're needing. Of course, there's other things as well in addition to this, but this will give you some idea of some of the things that they're needing. And of course, with things being more expensive, we might not be able to buy as much, but it certainly goes a long way to help out with the children over there. And so I hope that you take advantage of that. If you hadn't had a chance to purchase some of these things and donate them, please do. Also, if you don't have time to go shopping, you can still just put a gift in the offering plate. You can make it out to North River Community Kids Outreach, or NRCKO, if you got that. And they'll take that and be sure that it gets to the right place. And so you can even put on the memo line, school supplies, North River Community Kids Outreach. Also, this week, starting Monday, tomorrow, we will have our local mission project week kick off. And we're going to start by meeting at Berlin Zirk's home. If you don't know where that's at, just go to the Mount Solon Post Office. And he lives right there beside the post office. You'll see everyone there. We're going to meet there Monday at 8:30 a.m. And depending on how many people we got, we're going to break off into different groups. Maybe some will be cutting wood or some might be working on Mr. Casmore's front porch. So if you're able to participate in that, if you want to come, please do. Just remember, dress warm and don't forget your lunch. And so that you'll have something to eat and some gloves or whatever work tools that you need to work that day. Just bring those along with you. Also, on the back of your insert, again, just a reminder about our skate night. And kids, all the children here, I want you to remember to invite your friends to come to that, especially those that maybe don't go to church anywhere. What an opportunity of outreach this can be to just a fun activity, but allow the unchurched kids to see that there's fun things happening at the church. We're learning about Jesus, and we're doing fun things together, too. And so I hope you take advantage of that. Are there any other announcements that you'd like to share at this time? Janet?
Yes, on behalf of the adult Sunday school class, we would like to open this to anyone who would like a good Bible study. And on the first Sunday of the month, which is next Sunday, we always have a social hour. So we would certainly welcome everyone, anyone who would like to come. If you have any questions, you can ask Bruce.
Bruce looked like he was caught off guard there for a minute. His eyes got big. Yeah, Bruce has all the information. Just talk to Bruce. And we have a good Sunday school class, don't we, Janet? We enjoy the conversation. The conversation, we study the Bible together. It's a different way of learning the Bible. The sermon is one way, but just that group discussion, it's good. And it's nice to hear what others say other than just the preacher.
So.
Now Fred's on the spot, right? Yeah, ask Bruce or Fred. I think you ask anyone in our Sunday school class, and they'll give you a good invitation to come. Absolutely. Yep. 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 Very, very blessed that he's come back safe and did good work. And so we just praise the Lord for that. And Leon, we welcome you back. Anyone else? Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Grace, most Heavenly Father, Lord, we are just so grateful for today. Lord, we're thankful that we can join here together in worship of you. And Lord, as we settle in our seats, I pray our hearts now and our minds are being placed upon you, even upon your Son Jesus, and just the good things that we have received through him. Lord, we are saved because of his work upon the cross. And Lord, we have eternal life because he died and rose again. Lord, we just praise and glorify his name here this morning. We thank you for the relationship that we have in Jesus. We thank you for the saving work that he has done here on this earth. And Lord, that we have received, I pray, each one of us, into our life. Lord, we praise and glorify the name of Jesus here today. It's in his name we pray these things. Amen. Let us stand together for our call to worship this morning, and you'll find this in the inside of your bulletin. This coming from a hymn, actually, in your hymn book, number 189, Calvary Covers It All. The hymnist writes, "My past with its sin and stain, Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My guilt and despair, Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all." Let's turn our hymnal to page 338 at Calvary.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free.
Those ones you can get into, I think. Beautiful hymn. Okay, I just want to take a couple minutes. I know our communion service is at the end of this, at the end of our service today, so want to kind of keep our service moving along so we have time for everything. A couple people I want you to put on your prayer list, if you would, and be praying for. First of all, I just want you to continue to pray for Vaden Clatterball. Vaden was able to get home, and he is getting some help there. I think he has some nurses and things like that are coming in looking after him. But he still needs our prayers. He's certainly he's just very weak, and he's had a couple falls. So if you would, just lift Vaden Clatterball up. I know... I'd heard that he was going to try yesterday to go see Joyce. It had been 3 weeks since he'd seen Joyce, his wife, and so he was really wanting to go see her. I hadn't had a chance to talk to him yet to see if he had, but I pray he was able to. I know that that would be good for him. But if you would, just lift him up in your prayers for strength, for healing, and just pray that he's safe there at his home. Also, another name lifted up, Jason Michael, if you would. This is Vern Michael's son. So if you would lift Jason up, young man and has cancer. So just pray that that the medicines and doctors can help him with his treatments for that. Also, if you would put on your prayer list Carolyn Ware, which is Billy's sister-in-law or Brian's wife, Billy's brother's wife. Just lift her up in prayer. She's had a spot removed from her leg, and so it's got infected and it's not healing well. So if you would, just lift Carolyn Ware up in your prayers, please. Also, would you put on your prayer list Mary Dove? She's recovering from COVID and just struggling through the recovery process of that. Also, Wanda. Kevin, what's Wanda's last name?
Wanda Fry.
Wanda Fry. And she, Bammy, you shared she has COVID too. Am I right on that?
Yes,
both Wanda and Mary Dove, if you would, just put them on your prayer list for God's healing upon them, especially as they recover from this COVID. Other prayer requests, would you like to share?
Yeah, Carolyn Blizzard.
Carolyn Blizzard.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's in the hospital with congestive.
Okay. Carolyn Blizzard, and in the hospital for heart failure, so just be in prayer for her.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Other prayer requests or praises? Lee?
My sister.
Yes.
She had a fall at Christmas, and they finally got an MRI and found that she was leaving it and had a break. And now she has a break from her thigh to her ankle.
Oh, my. Yeah, I could imagine. If you would, continue to pray for Lee's sister, Pat. They're continuing to find what's wrong with her leg after she's had this fall. And a brace is what she's required to wear right now. Just pray that she gets through that quickly. So, yes. Thank you, Lee, for sharing that. Other prayer requests or praises? Gail?
My son and his wife, Michael and Mayan, they're at the hospital right now.
Yeah. Wow.
She's just a little small, so I just hope that she's going to be at a good weight.
Absolutely. And that's scheduled C-section, so we...
Actually, they just started inducing her because
okay.
of some emergency
okay.
issues.
Okay. We'll certainly be in prayer for her. Say her first name.
It's Michael and Mayana.
Mayana. Okay. Michael and Mayana. And be in prayer for Mayana. North Star is going to be the baby, so. All right. Gail, thank you for sharing that. Certainly be in prayer for her and for little baby North. Other prayer requests or praises? Pauline?
Debbie Sue.
Yes, pray for.
I understand that she got into some bleach yesterday, and she is having a terrible reaction. And she was like a little angel yesterday helping clean a place that was moved.
Yeah, Deborah woke up this morning and she had apparently had a reaction to some chemicals she was using yesterday. So she's at the Medicare or whatever it is, one of those places trying to get some medicine for her eyes. Her eyes are swelled up. And I didn't do it. Wasn't me. But certainly, thank you, Pauline. Keep her in your prayers this morning.
Mr. Lena.
Okay. Oh. Bill O'Neill. If you would be in prayer for Bill O'Neill, who's a bus driver for North River. Flaine, I appreciate that. Anyone else? I have a praise. I'm glad to be with you this Sunday. I like the pulpit exchange. That's fun, but there's no place like Moscow. I'm glad to be home. It feels like home, and it's great to be here, so what a blessing. Let us call now on our ushers to come forward and to collect our tithes and our offerings. Let's stand together in prayer. Will you bow your heads with me? Gracious most heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you with our prayer requests this morning. Lord, we have mentioned many names, Lord, that Lord, we just offer before you this morning for healing, for protection, for care. Lord, I just pray that you lift each one of them up, even as we've lifted up their names, Lord, that your hand will be upon them. Lord, that your healing will be upon them. Lord, that you will answer not only our prayer, but their prayer as well for healing. And Lord, that you'd be with each one. Lord, you heard each name here this morning. And Father, we stand on the testimony this morning of all those answered prayers that we have seen before, that you have done. Lord, we know your good work and that you are faithful to do a good work. That, Lord, you desire good for us and not evil. And Lord, we can trust in you. We can put our hope in you. And Lord, we know that you desire what is best for us. And Lord, so we lift these people up here this morning to you. Lord, there are unmentioned prayers as well. I know in our heart, names that we have in our mind. And Lord, there are unmentioned prayer requests, Lord, that maybe we don't feel comfortable lifting up in a group like this. But Lord, you know our heart and you hear our prayer now. And Lord, we offer that prayer to you, whether it's for ourselves or for others. Lord, knowing that you care. Lord, we pray as well for our offering this morning. Lord, pray that you continue to bless Moscow. And not only Moscow, but Lord, we pray a blessing upon all those area churches around us, like Sangersville and Elk Run, Mossy Creek, Lord, those churches right around us that are seeking to be faithful to your word and seeking to do your good work. Even as we join together this week with our area churches in these service projects, I just pray a blessing upon that service, that those that we serve will be blessed, and Lord, that the group will be safe. Lord, that you will even bring about greater unity within our community because of the work that we seek to do in your name, in your Son Jesus' name. Lord, I pray a blessing upon that work as well. Lord, bless us, I pray, in our communion service today. Lord, I just pray as we take communion that, Lord, our hearts truly commune with you. And Lord, that our hearts rejoice and are thankful having received your communion. Father, we just praise you now. We glorify your holy name. It's in the name of Jesus we pray these things together. Amen. Okay, I want you to turn in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 9. And I'm not going to release Children's Church this Sunday because we're going to have communion, so this part of the service will be shorter. That way the kids will be upstairs. And I think it's good because some of the children participate in communion. It's good to hear because I'm going to be preaching about communion and what it is and what it isn't. And so, children, I hope you pay attention and listen. And adults, the same. Hope you pay attention and listen. But we're just going to talk about communion a little bit before we take part in it. And I don't know that I've ever really preached on communion. We've preached, I guess, at times on what communion is. I don't know if I've really preached a sermon on communion. So this will be good. So if you would, turn to Hebrews chapter 9, looking here at verse 11 through 15. It says, "But Christ came as a high priest of good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit was offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from the dead works to serving the living God?" And verse 15 there. "And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of an eternal inheritance." You know, several times a year we observe communion. I think we were supposed to observe communion at Christmas. We usually do that at our Christmas Eve service. Unfortunately, the pastor got sick and we weren't able to do that, but we pushed it here to the beginning of the year. We try to do it three or four times a year to have communion here. You know, it's some churches do it a little differently. I guess at some churches it's a regular part of the worship service. Maybe they do it every Sunday. I think here we kind of spread it out. Maybe it adds to something that's special. It's not necessarily something that is routine. Something that is routine can lose its meaning. And so we do it. We hold it as something special that we take part in. We do this as the body of Christ. And we take it serious, I pray. We observe it with reverence and in worship. You know, Holy Communion is an ordinance in the church. And what an ordinance is really, you could call it a sacrament as well. But it's just a Christian rite. It's just something that Christ has commanded us to do. There's other ordinances as well that we participate in. Baptism is an ordinance or a sacrament. That's something that Christ commanded us. We can look in the Scriptures and say, Christ said for us to do this in the church. And baptism is one of those things. "Go ye forth, baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit." That's a commandment to the church, isn't it? And so we do those things which Christ has commanded us. These are ordinances within the church. And communion is an ordinance of the church. Remember that Christ gave the disciples this command when he was there at the feast of the Passover that he was sharing with the disciples. And he instructed the disciples to do communion, to have communion. He gave the bread and the cup, and he said, take and eat. Do this in remembrance of me. And he gave them the cup, and he said, drink it and do this in remembrance of me. And so we continue on today doing that thing, doing what Christ has commanded us, doing communion. And we observe it even today. All these years later, we continue to observe Christ's commandment and do those things he has commanded. Now, I want to tell you real quickly what communion isn't. What communion isn't, before I tell you what communion is. Well, first of all, communion isn't the act of salvation. No more than baptism saves you. We enter the baptismal waters because we are saved. Amen? We are witnessing and testifying, even through the baptism process, we are witnessing and testifying to the going down and the coming forth is like coming forth from the grave. We once were dead in our sins, but now Christ has made us alive, right? And so that testifies. There's no really, you know, the water doesn't turn holy back there and something miraculous happens. In our heart, something miraculous happens. But the actual water or that part of it doesn't save us. No more does communion save us. It's just an act. It is looking towards something. The bread itself doesn't save you. The body of Christ and the blood of Christ saves us. But the communion bread itself is not necessarily salvation. We do these things because we've been commanded, but it's not the act of salvation. Faith in Christ is the means to salvation, and that's a period on the end of that. That's it. Now, communion is not really the literal eating of Christ's flesh or the drinking of Christ's blood. There are those that believe that when these sacraments are handed out, that when you eat them, that they are literally the eating of Christ's flesh and the drinking of Christ's blood. Now that would make us pagan, wouldn't it? Remember, those are the things that Jesus told them to move away from. You're pagan when you're... The pagan cults and the pagan idol worshipers were the ones that were drinking blood and eating flesh. But again, this is not that it magically transforms into those things, but they again represent His broken body, don't they? Christ died upon a cross. The bread represents the broken body of Christ. And the blood represents that blood that is shed, really represents the life of Christ, that He died upon the cross, that He gave His life that we might be saved. You know, communion, the Bible says, isn't supposed to be a banquet or a dinner. There were some that soon after the resurrection of Christ were using the opportunity. You remember this all fell during the love feast or the Passover meal. And so the church was using it, I think, the early church was using it as an opportunity to have a big feast. And Paul calls them out and says, hey, what are you doing? You know, you're using this wonderful holy ordinance in a way to really feed yourself. And he says, it should not be in the church. You're not to use this. 1 Corinthians 11:22, he says, when you meet together, you are not really interested in the Lord's Supper. For some of you hurry to eat your own meal without sharing with others. As a result, some go hungry while others get drunk. What, he says, do you not have your own homes for eating and drinking? This isn't just supposed to be a meal of some sort. And of course, we don't. We observe it with the intent being the communion, that we are worshiping and seeking God in it, not seeking ourselves. And lastly, communion is not, the Bible says, for the unbelieving or the unrepentant Christian. Now that has meaning, doesn't it, for us this morning? Probably all of us, I pray all of us, fall into the believing, right? Communion is not for the unbelieving. What meaning does communion have for the unbelieving? Nothing. What does the body of Christ mean to the unbeliever? Nothing. What does the blood of Christ mean for the unbeliever? Nothing. And so they just eat it with no meaning, with no point. It's just kind of taking the observance and making a mockery of it when you're an unbeliever. You're just doing it to do it, not necessarily have any meaning or purpose. But I tell you, that unbelieving part, or that unrepentant Christian, really hits home, I think. That when we are to observe communion, that we are supposed to do it with clean hearts. Not as an unrepentant sinner, not with uncleanness in our life, but we are supposed to examine ourselves before we take communion. There used to be in the Church of the Brethren that the ministers would go house by house before they took communion. They would have discussions about, are you prepared to have communion? Have you examined yourself? Is there any unrepentant sin in your life? I think maybe, not that we're going to get back to that, but we should get back to examining ourselves, preparing ourselves, making sure that we are repentant of those sins within our life, and that when we receive communion, that it's a holy thing. I heard one preacher say that before we take communion, we should do a virtual 360 visual around us. And we should be in good standing with every member in the church. That we shouldn't have any, some type of argument or unrepentant or unforgiven sin within our life. That we should be in good standing within the church, within the community. 1 Corinthians 11:27 says, "Whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily, in an unworthily manner, will be guilty," it says, "of the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine themselves," Paul says, "so let them eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, and drinks judgment to himself, not discovering the Lord's body," is what it says there. One preacher says it's the communion service is the most dangerous service within the church, because if you do it unworthily, you're really asking for judgment of God upon you. Okay, these are the things that it isn't. Now, what it is, and I'm going to share it to you real quick. Communion is, number one, it's the remembrance of what Christ has done for us. Christ wants us to remember. We take communion so that we remember what it is that Jesus did for us. Jesus did not want us to forget the great act that he did for us there on Calvary. He gave his life. He wanted us to remember. Sometimes you walk into a church, you'll see on the altar, "Do this in remembrance of me." You know, this idea of remembering. Remember what Christ has done for you. The fear was that the church would forget, and communion was a way in which they could act out, really, this death of Christ, this giving of himself through the cup and through the bread, this suffering. Jesus did not want us to forget. He didn't want us to forget his sacrifice. It was a great sacrifice, wasn't it? He gave himself there upon the cross. You know, that I thought about that little phrase, "never forget." I remember we were saying that pretty regularly when 9/11 hit. Never forget. We didn't want to forget what happened that day. We didn't want to lose in our minds just how significant that event was, how tragic that event was. We didn't want to forget those that had perished that day. And the idea was to never forget. Never forget. It was something that we needed, and we felt like we needed to remember. Of course, we've heard that numerous times later in different situations. I wonder, though, how many events through history people have said never forget and that we don't think about now. I mean, how many of you think about maybe the pandemic of 1918? Is that something that you constantly remember and think about? But maybe they were saying, never forget. Never forget. And you see something like that with a period of time. Those that had experienced it are gone, right? Most people that, I don't think there's anybody still living from 1918, maybe. Most people have passed on. How about the heat wave of 1936? You still remember that one? 5,000 people died in the United States in the heat wave of 1936. Remember they're saying, never forget, never forget. But we have forgotten. You know, Christ gave the command to observe communion because he did not want us to ever forget what it was that he did for us. The sacrifice that God was going to make. He wanted us to remember. Never forget. Never forget my broken body. Never forget the blood that I shed for you. Never forget. And this morning as we take communion, we remember, don't we? We remember. We remember how he was beaten, how he suffered upon a cross, how he died upon a cross, that his body was broken for us. We remember. The second thing that the Lord's Supper is a celebration. It's an act of remembrance. It's an act of celebration. And we celebrate through the communion what we have received as a result of Jesus' sacrifice. You know, maybe sometimes within the church, communion is looked as a somber moment, a sad moment even. It should be an act of celebration, shouldn't it? We should rejoice in our hearts when we receive communion. Because we are acknowledging the good things that we have received because of his great sacrifice, because Jesus was willing to die. And that's something to celebrate. We celebrate the new life that we have come to find in Christ and receive through his finished work upon the cross. That all our past sins are forgiven us. Our past, present, and even future sins are forgiven us because of the work of Christ. And that's what our scripture talks about. Notice there that our scripture talks about this new covenant, not with the blood of calves, but with the blood of Christ, that he has entered into this most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. That's the new covenant. Really, a covenant, all that word means is agreement. Remember the old agreement? The old covenant was the agreement between man and God. And that was the agreement that if you follow the law, if you obey the commands of Moses, and you offer an animal sacrifice for your sins at a place there, the temple in Jerusalem, that you would be forgiven of your sins. But of course, we know the problem with that is not the old covenant. The problem is not the covenant. The covenant was good. The problem is with us, right? We continue to sin. We continue to not follow the law of Moses. And therefore, that old covenant, that old agreement, it really only judged us, didn't it? It only showed us that we fall short. But God gave us a new agreement. And the old agreement is between God and man, but the new agreement is between God and God. You hear that? It's not about you. The new covenant is between God and God. God the Father, God the Son. And it doesn't have anything to do with us. All we do is believe. All we do is receive and accept. Jesus has made an agreement with the Father that he would purchase the payment of our sin with his own body, with his own blood. And the Bible goes on to say, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who entered in through the eternal Spirit, offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from the dead works to serve the living God. So much better. He says, how much better is the new covenant than the old? Based on the finished work of Christ upon the cross. Praise God, right? Praise God. That's what we rejoice in. That's what we rejoice in. For this reason, he's the mediator, the Bible says there, of a new covenant, by means of his death for the redemption of our transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal life. The Bible says God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Listen, as we receive the bread and cup this morning, we remember what Christ has done for us, and we rejoice in what we have received. Amen?
Amen.
What we have received. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this communion service here this morning. And Lord, I pray even in this moment that we take a moment, each one of us, to personally repent and prepare ourselves to receive the communion. Lord, we have failed in our life. We each have sin. Lord, we fall short of the standard that you place upon our life. Lord, we have done others wrong. We have sinned against others, maybe in this church or maybe at work or in our families. Lord, we ask for that forgiveness now. We repent, Lord, that we might treat others even as you have treated us. Lord, as your scripture says, even as we were enemies of the cross, Lord, you died for us. You were willing to suffer even though we were your enemy. Lord, allow us to treat others even as you have treated us, with grace and with love. Father, forgive us of any hatred or anger in our hearts that we might reserve and hold unto. And not only, Lord, do we ask for forgiveness of our sin, but Lord, we seek to forgive those who have wronged us. Lord, as you said, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lord, we seek to forgive those who have wronged us. Lord, there are those that have said things or done things to us, that, Lord, we hold that anger in our heart. And Lord, we pray now that we can offer even them that forgiveness. Lord, that forgiveness that they deserve, and Lord, that forgiveness that you want us to give them. Let us be able to come forward this morning as we receive your communion with pure hearts. Father, forgive us of our sins. Lord, we praise you in that. Lord, we know that as we offer and ask for that forgiveness, Lord, you do forgive us of those sins. You're faithful to forgive us, is what your word says. And Lord, we thank you that we have received that forgiveness now, as much as we've prayed those prayers. Lord, bless us in this communion service, I pray. In Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Amen. The way we'll have the communion is, I'm going to have you stand up in your pews, and then I'm going to ask the deacons to come forward as well. And how we'll do it is, when the deacons are ready, we'll stand, and then you're going to come down through the center aisle here in single file, releasing from the front of the sanctuary to the back. You'll receive the bread and cup, and then you'll come around to the outside and go back into your pew. Stand. We can begin. We can begin. Thank you. Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, says that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." I don't know if you've ever noticed or not, but on your bread there's three poked holes. And our deacons use a special fork, a three-pronged fork for that. And it's only used really just for making the communion bread. But those three piercings represent the wounds of Christ upon his hands, upon his feet, and even upon his side. We do it in remembrance, don't we? We take communion and we remember that Jesus was crucified for each one of us. His body was broken for you. Let us bow our heads for a prayer for the bread. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this bread which it represents. Lord, even as we see those pierced marks upon it, we're reminded that, Lord, you were pierced for us. That you took upon yourself the punishment of our sin and shame. And Lord, you bore upon that cross our guilt. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for Jesus taking our place there on Calvary. It should have been us. But Lord, you, in your great love for us, it was you. And Lord, we thank you for that. Bless this bread as we take it. And Lord, let us remember of what your Son Jesus did for us. Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. The statement of the bread, repeat after me, this bread which we break, this bread which we break, is the communion of the body of Christ. Is the communion of the body of Christ. Take and eat. Scriptures go to say, in the same manner he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, that new agreement in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The Bible says where there's no shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And Christ gave his life upon the cross so that our sins would be atoned for before God. Let us have a prayer for a blessing of the cup. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this cup and which it represents. Its crimson color before us, Lord, reminds us that your blood was shed, that our sins might be washed over, covered, and made clean. Thank you, Lord, that we stand before you now without any sin in your eyes because, Lord, you have covered your sin with your precious blood. Father, thank you for the atoning work of this cup in which we drink. Lord, we praise you now. Bless it to us, I pray. In Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Amen. The statement of faith for the cup is this cup which we drink, this cup which we drink is the communion of the blood of Christ. Is the communion of the blood of Christ. Take and drink. You can put the cups in the front of your pew there. There's a little holder. And we'll be able to get that afterwards. I want you to remain standing now as we share in our closing hymn, page 436, Whiter Than Snow. Page 436, Whiter Than Snow.
Forever to live and work.
your head with me in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this communion which we have received. Lord, we remember, and Lord, we are blessed, and Lord, we celebrate, and we rejoice. Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. Lord, what would we do without him? Lord, how would we survive without him in our life? Lord, we thank you for his presence. We thank you for his friendship, for his guidance and direction in our life. And Lord, we thank you most of all for the salvation that he offered for each one of us upon that cross at Calvary. We praise his name this morning. We rejoice in the one who has made us as white as snow. Praise his name here this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen.